Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Next, our sermon this morning is the epistle lesson appointed for Palm Sunday from Philippians chapter 2. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of our Lord. My dear friends, it's certainly true that in these times in our country, people are longing for leadership on all levels of government, from local, state, to national government. People are looking to our leaders. They're looking to our leaders for decisive action. They're looking to our leaders so that they tell us the truth. They give us guidance for what's best now in our unpredictable world. They want leaders who will give us an encouragement and hope as we look to the future. I think it's also true that we've seen that in leaders. All levels of leadership in our country, we see people making decisions. We see people doing what they think is best for our country, for our city, for our state. We find encouragement from those leaders. But as you watch leaders, we also find some of the same things that we've always seen: fighting and blaming, shifting responsibility. We see those types of things. We come to expect those types of things among our earthly leaders. Today on Palm Sunday, we're ready to receive the perfect leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's unusual as he comes humbly riding on a donkey, who comes not to demonstrate earthly power, but to sacrifice his life for the sins of the world. We've been down this road before. This Palm Sunday, this Holy Week road, we know where we're going. After the parade on Palm Sunday, we know we'll follow Jesus as he teaches in Jerusalem till he gets to the upper room with his disciples, abandoned by them later that evening and then crucified the next day. We'll run to the tomb on Easter Sunday morning and shout Alleluia from our living rooms. He is risen indeed. We know our leader. We know what he's done. We know where he's leading us. So what makes Palm Sunday this year different? Well, as we look around, there's a whole bunch that makes it different. Our worship is so strange compared to what we've experienced in the past, what we've grown up with. So Palm Sunday can be different for us for different reasons. Perhaps this year provides us a unique opportunity to consider what Holy Week is really all about. The things we know, the things that we believe, but maybe this year we can consider it anew. Here comes Holy Week. And as we begin our worship this week, it's another opportunity to sit back and marvel at the grace of God, the grace that God brings to us in Jesus, our Savior. I don't suspect you're going to learn anything new this Holy Week when it comes to God's plan of salvation. You probably won't discover some new truth about one of the events of this week that you never heard before. It's going to be the same. It's the same leader, it's the same work, the same blessings. But what makes it new for us is maybe remembering again how incredible it is that Jesus actually came. On Palm Sunday, Jesus came into a city he'd been to many years before. The city that welcomed him that day with shouts of praise. They knew he was the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. They knew his name was Jesus. But what's very remarkable is that when Jesus came, he knew everybody during that parade route. As he heard their shouts of Hosanna, he also knew exactly which ones would say, "Crucify him," on Good Friday. Jesus came. Jesus came to that city. He knew how quickly the people would turn against him. He knew the leaders that were witnessing him on Palm Sunday, that were listening to his teaching throughout the week, would also be the ones to plot and scheme so that he would be crucified, murdered. Jesus knew everything. He came. We know Jesus came into this world to save sinners. We know Jesus came into this world to save us. We can marvel again at the grace of God when we understand just how desperate our need was to have this Savior, to have Jesus. The Bible tells us that one sin separates us from God forever. The Bible tells us that the wages of our sin is always death. The Bible tells us that we are in a hopeless situation apart from Christ, and there's no way out. And even as the people of God, we still sin against him. And it's repulsive in his sight. We're at Holy Week again. Here comes Jesus. Here comes God's grace for sinners. Jesus knew everything about each and every one of us, and he still wanted to come. In this letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul records some words that we hear every year on Palm Sunday, familiar sections of Scripture that demonstrate the truth of our Savior Jesus and his humble love for us and for all. And Jesus came riding into Jerusalem as a 33-year-old man. He came as a real human being who was fully God in every way. All the characteristics and qualities of God were found complete in Jesus. He's eternal and almighty, but he didn't hold on to them. He willingly set them aside to become our Savior. St. Paul says Jesus became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And so as we witness Palm Sunday, as we get into this Holy Week again, we get a first row seat, Jesus, the God-man, the Savior we needed. We see the grace of God, that he would come into this world for the people who turned away from him, that he would give his life, laying it down willingly, so that we could have forgiveness and eternal life. We know that Jesus didn't stay in the grave. We know he rose on Easter Sunday, and therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name. We know that name. We believe in that name. Our knees bow before Jesus, humble adoration. Our tongues confess him as our Savior and loudly proclaim to the world that he is risen indeed. He's the King of the earth. He's the Savior of all. Seeing that grace, understanding that grace personally, is what changes Palm Sunday for us all the time. It refocuses us on our great need for a Savior and the tremendous love that he showed by coming here willingly, obediently, and lovingly so that we might have forgiveness and eternal life. It's Holy Week again. And here comes God's grace, just like it always has. But it's different. It's different this year. So many things that have made our Holy Week so comforting for so long are gone. Again, you're worshiping with your family at home. Monday, Thursday, we're going to offer communion here privately. It'll be different. Easter Sunday morning, will be in your homes, maybe going outside and shouting, "He is risen," and seeing if somebody responds by saying, "He is risen indeed." But it's going to be different. The hymns that you long to sing on Easter Sunday morning, the ones that are so comforting and so personal to you, won't be the same. It'll be different instruments. It'll be different crowds of people, different groups gathered together. I understand. I know how personal Easter is. I know what it's like. There's hymns that I hear on Easter Sunday morning that still cause me to cry, wiping those tears between verses because they're personal. They were sung at funerals of loved ones who have now been called home to heaven. Easter is such a personal holiday for us as Christians, because it's all about the very nature of our life now and our eternal life in heaven. We need it so desperately. Be gone. But why will this Easter be any different from an ordinary Sunday? Every Sunday we have the opportunity to get together around God's Word. Every Sunday we hear the same message of our sin and God's grace in Christ Jesus. Every Sunday is a little Easter where we get to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. Every time there's an opportunity to be in God's Word, it's an opportunity for us to see the grace of God with no strings attached. Every time we have the opportunity to be in that Word, it's God coming to each of us personally. I've learned this past week how easy it is for members of a congregation to forget about that blessing of worship. We don't do it on purpose. It just happens. This past Wednesday was our last midweek Lenten service. I spent the day fishing, out and about, got home, ate supper. Got to be 8 o'clock as I sat down on the couch and realized I skipped church. I missed our Lenten service. How could that happen? I'm supposed to be a pastor. That's supposed to be in my schedule no matter what. But I didn't get to Lent until Thursday night. That's what happens to us. It happens to us because we're sinful human beings who have the grace of God so free and so abundant, but so easily set it aside. Get distracted, get bored, get preoccupied with other things. We miss what God parades in front of us in Jesus our Savior. But God doesn't miss a beat. Our Savior continues to come to us. On Palm Sunday, we see him ride into Jerusalem, knowing all about us, knowing all about our sins and all of our failures, and we see him charge on. We see him later walk, suffer, and shed his blood to pay for those sins of neglect and apathy, carelessness, whatever they might be. We see the grace of God as Jesus takes our place and shouts, "It's finished," by a victory for us, for all his people. This Easter, this Holy Week, they're different. But it's my prayer. It's God's will that we would be renewed by the same message that has always renewed us in the faith, our sin and God's unconditional grace in Christ Jesus, our Savior. And that message works. It works whether we're gathered in church on an Easter Sunday with the lilies and the songs and the crowds, or we're at home by ourselves. It works because God's grace is that powerful. God's grace is effective. God's grace is comforting. God's grace comes to each and every one of us. It's Holy Week. God's grace is coming to us just like it always has. What a joy to view it again in the pages of Scripture as we see Jesus, our King, who suffered and died and rose for us. The leadership in our country is having to adapt to change. Leaders are having to change course, sometimes hour to hour. They make decisions, and then the next day they'll come back and make a different decision that seems to fly in the face of what just happened the day before. Our world is filled with change, and leaders are having to adapt to that. Your world, as a child of God, is filled with change. Some people say that change is one of the most difficult things that can ever happen in a church. Nobody likes change. And now everything is completely different. Maybe going forward, we'll be able to change a lot more easily after going through something like this pandemic. But in the midst of earthly change, here comes Holy Week. It's Holy Week again, and God's grace is right before our eyes. And there's nothing different about it. It's the same as it has always been. It's the same Jesus, the same true God and true man, the same sacrifice for our sins, the same resurrection, and the same comfort we have in knowing that because Jesus lives, our sins are forgiven, and we will live forever. Going on in this life, we will experience more change. It will continue to come thanks be to God, our leader does not change. His promises endure. Holy Week has come again, and God's grace is right before our eyes. Therefore, we'll see him. We'll see him in this world as we deal with all of the change. We'll see him on the day he calls us from this life. We'll see him on the day he returns with our own eyes, be gathered to his home in heaven, where change will be done. God's grace will be on full display, and we will have an eternal worship service with all believers in Christ. May God hasten that day. Amen.